rejoice and we bless for that. When the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And here we are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Blessed be his name forever and ever. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 44. I'm going to read some verses from there. Isaiah 44. We all found it?
Yeah.
I'll read the first five verses. Isaiah 44, 1 to 5. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servants, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you?
Amen.
Fear not, O Jacob, my servants, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will put my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. And they will spring up among the grass, like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Verse 3 says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. You ever been thirsty before? So thirsty that your mouth, your throat feels so dry. And you're longing just for that sip of water at times, or a small cup of water. And we know the importance of drinking water. I encourage you to do it so that we don't dehydrate. I was in India in May, and before I flew out there, one of the colleagues at the office where we were working out there, he said to me, make sure you drink lots of water. Warning me because the place was really hot. There's a chance of dehydration if you don't take enough. And we know physically in our bodies the importance of it. Even when you're fasting, the advice is don't go more than 3 days without water. Because of what it does to the body, the lack of water, the dehydration that can result, and so on and so forth. See, even people here today, as we are here, just like me, I've got my bottle of water. You've got your own water there. We know the importance of it, don't we? We know how refreshing water can be at times. And God has come to us this morning in his words with a number of blessings in the passage that we have read, those five verses. But the one that really caught my attention, that really stood out to me, was where he says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. But the one thing I see about the word of God and the promises of God to us is that there is that condition, there is that position where you have to be in order to claim that blessing. He says, on him who is thirsty. It therefore begs the question, and that is, are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty? Are you craving for the things of God? Because we serve a God who satisfies our every need. The psalmist says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, O God. There is that desire that the psalmist saw in himself, and he realized that there's only one person who could meet that desire, that need, and that is God. He saw inside him a craving for the things of God. If you've ever been in the desert place, when it's so hot, so dry, and you know the importance of just having even at times just a drop of water, he says, so my soul pants after you.
Amen.
And he who seeks God will find him. Our God is not some God who is remote, who is so distant, who will not come to our very need. He is the help of those who call upon him. And his word to us, therefore, this morning is this. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. But before we even get to that verse, I want to say one thing to us. But as people of God, it's very important for us to know our identity. We live in a world where people don't know their identity. Don't know who they are. Don't know their rights, don't know their privileges, don't know their benefits. You see, if you don't know who you are in this life, there are certain benefits and privileges which will come to you that you will not be aware of, that will actually go a-begging. Not because you don't have the right to get them, but because you don't know that you can get them. And the Bible does tell us, isn't it, that it's because of lack of knowledge that the people perish. You see, people, I'm sure I've said this here before, the time of ignorance is past. We cannot afford in this end time, especially when the devil is running helter-skelter, trying to, move people astray, move people away from God. We cannot afford to be ignorant. We cannot afford to be unaware of the things of God. We cannot afford people just to stay there like that and not know anything. No. We have to go into the Word of God, listen to God, hear what God is saying, and know what He wants us to do. Amen. If there ever was a time of ignorance, if there ever was, that time now is past. And the prophet starts off this passage that we've read with something very interesting. And it tells us who our identity is. You see, your identity is this: who you are, where you came from, what you're doing. Amen. All that is summed up in your identity. He starts off by saying, "Hear now, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen." That in itself already tells us who or what our identity is, that God has chosen you. You are His. He says, "Jacob, my servant, Israel, I have chosen." God has chosen from His mercy, from His grace and His mercy, so pour out His blessing upon you. You are His because He has chosen you. You have come from the Father, and He has chosen you, therefore, so pour out His blessing upon you. That is who you are. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Can God save me? Does God love me? Does God care for me? What's happening in the world? He says it there: Israel, whom I have chosen. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are by faith sons and daughters of Abraham. Therefore, we are from the tribe of Israel, and therefore these blessings apply to us. We don't need to think that, okay, because we're not born into the Jewish tribe or what have you and all that nonsense. No, we don't need to worry about that. We are by faith sons and daughters of the living God. And God therefore has chosen, we who call upon the name of the Lord, we who have chosen to call Him our Lord and Savior, He has chosen to bless us. He has chosen really to come by His power, by His grace and His mercy, and pour out a blessing upon us so big that we cannot even contain it. So He says, Jacob, my servant, Israel, I have chosen. Thus says Lord, and I like this. And it says, Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb? Wow. The biology of it all, yes, that a man and woman comes together and that's it, and that's how a baby comes. Listen, God formed you.
Amen.
He said that to the prophet Jeremiah. Before you were in the womb, I knew you. Wow, that's amazing. Before you were even just a clot of blood. He says, I knew you. It is God who did it. I formed you in the womb, He said. It means, therefore, that you are His. You are His handiwork. You are His creation. If it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't be alive today. You are His. And His word tells us, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You see, people understand your identity. Understand who you are. You belong to Him. He is yours. He has paid the price on the cross for you. On the cross there, He said, it is finished. And He gave up the ghost. It is finished. Why? Because He has brought Himself. We have been redeemed to Him. We have been redeemed with something that is incorruptible. Not with the blood of bulls and goats and rams and chickens and what have you, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had that purpose. He had that plan right from eternity. Formed you in the womb, people. That is who you are. That is who we are. People understand your identity. Understand who you are. Understand, therefore, because of your identity, the rights, the privileges that you have. You see, let me slightly digress and make a point here. You know, when Jesus was going in Matthew chapter 28, remember what He said? These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. In my name, They shall cast out demons, they shall speak in new tongues, and so on and so forth. You know what he, and when he sent the 70 disciples out, you know what he said to them? I give you authority over snakes and scorpions, and nothing will by any means hurt you. What am I trying to say? People, because of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have authority and power over the hosts of darkness.
Oh, yes.
Because of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the authority over Satan and his kingdom. It does not mean that he will not try. It does not mean that he will not try and rear his ugly head. But what it tells us is this, that we'll crush him. We will crush him in the name of Jesus. With the authority that comes in the name of Jesus, he's under our feet in Jesus' name. That should be our declaration. That should be our profession in the name of Jesus. Why? Because in Christ, as sons and daughters of the living God, we have that right, we have that authority that has been given to us. And it tells us, therefore, this people of God, that we need to be a people who walk in victory.
Amen.
We need to be a people who walk in blessing.
Amen.
We need to be a people, the psalmist says, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. We need to be a people that we walk up with our heads held high because of what he has done. Some of you are here, you're wondering, you're saying, well, look, life has thrown so many tough blows at me. Life has hit me really hard. Life's been so cruel to me. Perhaps I can't even stand up anymore. Well, I want to tell you in Jesus' name, yes, you can.
Amen.
I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you not to listen to what the enemy is saying.
Yeah.
To listen to the voice of God.
Amen.
Who says he will help you.
Yeah.
Who says he will pour out his spirit upon you.
Yeah.
Who says that he will satisfy that need? Who says that he will come to you, that the floods will not overwhelm you? In this passage, after telling the people who they are in him, God then says, fear not, O Jacob, my servants. I've always been very intrigued for a while now. I've always been very intrigued and interested whenever God's word says, fear not. It's always caught my attention now. You know, for a while now, when I've been reading the word of God, where God says, fear not, or do not be afraid. And it's for this reason. See, listen, God is not someone who wastes his words. When God says something to you, however long or short it may be, he said it for a reason. There's something going on. When God says to you and to me, fear not, it could be that there's a situation you're going to face that may seem so overwhelming, humanly speaking. It could be that there's a mountain in front of you that may seem that, oh, how can I get over this? It could be that there's a situation that you're coming to which would feel like, oh, goodness me, I'm in trouble. There is no way out. But in that moment, God comes to you and says, fear not. Why? Because he will help you. Why? Because there is a way out. Why? Because the mountain might seem so big, but as we've been singing this morning, nobody bigger than you, nobody stronger than you, nobody greater than you, no one can do what Jesus can do. So never mind the mountain. Never mind the obstacle, how big it is. Rather than looking to the mountain, look to the one who is far greater. Look to the one who has all the power. And he says, fear not. And the reason why he says that is because he is with you.
Amen.
If the Most High God is with us, if the Most High God is with us, people of God, what obstacle is that we can face that will really take advantage of us? If the Most High God is walking with us every step of the way, tell me, what obstacle is there that we cannot overcome? After all, his word says, in all these things we are sometimes conquerors?
No.
Yeah? Every now and again conquerors? You see, it doesn't even say that we are conquerors. It says we are more than.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody here who's a linguist, please try and explain that to me. I'm not a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. So whatever a conqueror is, I'm better than that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah.
Whatever a victor is, we've gone beyond that in the name of Jesus. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Therefore, he comes to you and to me and says, fear not. Therefore, he whispers in your ear. You're going through a tough situation. He whispers in your ear and he says, fear not. I've even got off my notes. It doesn't matter anyway. The iPad turned off. Thank God for technology, but sometimes, you know, we could do without it. He comes to you and to me, and he says, fear not. Listen, people, when you walk out that door today, I don't know what situation you're going to face. I don't even know right now what situation you're facing. I might know for some of you, I might not know for most of you, but that's neither here nor there. The point is God knows. The point is that Jehovah sees, Jehovah knows. The point is that when we cry, when we call upon the name of the Lord, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's not try and complicate it, people of God. Let's not try and complicate it. That is his word, and let us do it. You know, when I spoke here last time about keep me from evil, it says that when we pray the prayers we see in the Bible, in the context in which they were made, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. Why? Because they're given to us as an example that we could apply to our lives. The issue that we have, and I'm just as guilty, by the way, I'm not standing here being holier than thou. The issue we have at times is that we try to rationalize it ourselves and think, oh, what's the way out? How can we do it? When what God is telling us to do is hand it over to him. When what God is telling us to do is to leave it with him. And he will come through and he will deal with it the way he knows best. The apostles, I seem to be going off course this morning, but don't worry about it. There was the account in the book of Acts, wasn't there, of, I think it was Peter and John. They were in prison. I think it was Peter, and then he was about to be executed. And the Bible tells us that he was sleeping. And the angel of God then woke him up and brought him out of prison. And he made such a profound statement. He said, the Lord has delivered me from the expectation of man. Something there that caught my attention. You're about to be executed and you're sleeping. Now, hang on a minute. Shouldn't you be praying, speaking in tongues, binding the sword they're going to use, binding the executioner, you know, binding the ground, I don't know where, but all sorts of things and songs all over the place. But it says he was sleeping. And then he made that statement that the Lord has delivered me from the expectation of man. Because he knew the God he served. He knew the God he served was more than able. And he left it in God's hands. And what does the Bible tell us? He gives his beloved sleep. Listen, I'm not saying that you should sleep all the time and not pray. Don't misunderstand me, okay? Don't go away saying that Apostle says that we shouldn't pray. Absolutely not. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that there's a time when God blesses people and all you just do is sleep. And God takes care of it. Facts. But in order to do that, we need to know the God we serve. We need to know him, we need to follow him, we need to serve him, we need to move as he wants us to move, and things will happen in the name of Jesus. But remember this, people, it's his way, not your way. It's his plan, it's his agenda, not your agenda. So we come to this verse now, verse 3. Before we even go to verse 3, what we see there, also to talk about fear not, is an encouragement. You see, I love it. God comes to encourage us, isn't it?
Yes.
Come on, parents, I'm sure you do that as well, don't you? That you encourage your children. Or are you the kind of parents that you always tell them off? You have nothing positive to say about them. Whatever they do, you always tell them off. I hope we don't have parents here like that. Yes, there's a time to tell off our children, but there's also a time for us to encourage them, isn't there? And God comes, he encourages us, he says, fear not. And he calls Israel by the name of Jeshurun, which means the upright one. This sounds to be someone who has found favor in the sight of God. And because we have found favor in his sight, God has lavished his love upon us. And as a father loves to speak to his children, so too God loves to speak to us. And therefore he tells us to fear not. And then in verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. You know, water in this passage is symbolic of the Spirit of God. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. There is no one who comes to God in truth, in sincerity and truth, who goes away with their needs not being met. And I'm not just saying that flippantly or casually, people of God. I'm not just making some kind of bold statement just for the sake of it. But the verse there where it says, I will pour water, it's not just pouring simple water. It's talking about overflowing. It's talking about an overflow. It's talking about being more than enough. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup. I love the King James version, the way he says it there. My cup runneth over, or my cup overflows. You see, when God blesses, he gives more than enough. When God blesses, he gives us the overflow. And he says here, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Now, I'm not a biologist here. Correct me, any biologist here. But as I understand it, nothing can survive without water. True or false? No animal, no plants, whatever can survive without water. You go to countries where there's a drought, and you know how people are desperate just for a tiny drop of rain to water the ground, to make it soft so that their crops can grow and they can have food for their animals and for themselves and so on like that. Nothing can survive without water. And if we're saying in this passage that water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, that tells me one thing, people of God, we cannot run this race without the Holy Spirit. We cannot run this race without God being with us. Because if we try to do it, we are destined to fail. If we try to do it, we are destined not to make it. But with the Spirit of God with us, the Spirit of God inside us, the Spirit of God filling us, the Spirit of God moving inside us, victory is ours in the name of Jesus. Victory is ours in Jesus' name. I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. How we need a flood, people of God. I just don't want tiny drops of rain. I don't know about you, but I want to be flooded with the Spirit of God. I want to know an overwhelming presence of God in my life, in my ministry, in every part that concerns me. We need to come to a place, people of God, where we are not content with what we have. We need to come to a place, people of God, where we know that God has more in store for us. Yes, we can talk about the victories of yesteryears, 5 years, 10 years ago. Praise God for those victories. But that was in the past. What about now? We talk about, yes, how God moved in our life ages ago. Praise God for that. What about now? Sometimes we have so much to say about the past, nothing about the present. I remember, and Pastor Brian would know about this a lot better than me anyway, because he's a veteran of Eden Christian Center. Amen. When I first came to Eden Christian Center, I started coming, I think it was 2004. There were, 30, 40 of us at the time? Something like that. You'd be in that building and the place sounds hollow. I remember one time, the previous pastor, Pastor John Jones, he would say, the place sounds hollow. Because you're smiling because you know exactly what I mean, don't you? But look at us today. Praise God. Amen. God has done it. Amen?
Amen.
Wherever you've come from, however you've come here, you know, whether or not you were here when Pastor John was here or you came when Pastor Brian took over, it doesn't matter. God has done it. We have grown. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe God has more in store for us. Are we satisfied with this? No, we're not. No, we shouldn't be. God, you've done it in the past. God, do it again. Cause there to be growth. Cause there to be a flood. Cause there, Father, you know, he says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. For me, all means all. There is no exemption. There's no, it's only for a certain few. It is for all. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. You know, we will see the Spirit of God move in these places. That is what we want, people of God. That there'll be no desert place. There'll be no barren place. There'll be no place that is unproductive in the name of Jesus. So he will pour out his spirit upon each and every one of us.
Yes, Lord.
And people will come to this place. Understand this. People will come to this place, not because of you and me, but because of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
People will come, and understand where I'm coming from when I say this. People will come, not because of the brilliant praise and worship. It is brilliant, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I'm not just saying it because my wife's a worship leader, by the way. So, all people accuse me of being biased. But people will come here, not because of the excellent praise and worship, but because they sense the presence of God when we're praising, when we're worshiping.
Amen.
People will come here. When they hear the preaching of the word, it's not because of the preacher who looks so good. You know, and all that. It's not because of that. It's because of the presence of God.
Amen.
Because of the power of God in this place. That is what will draw people to this place in the name of Jesus. Where God floods this place. Where God pours out his spirit upon this place. Upon each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. That is what we want. That should be our craving. Right from the bottom of our hearts. But people, I tell you this, when God pours his spirit upon people, there has to be a change.
Yes.
And some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
There are things in your life that need to change. You're asking God to pour his spirit upon you, and he will do it. But hey, you need to change. You need to change. Look at me, because you know exactly what I'm talking about, some of you. You need to change, amen?
Yes.
You see, I say God has come to encourage us. God has come to bless us. But in doing that, we don't stay the same way that we are. There has to be a change in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Perhaps there are things that you need to take off.
Yeah.
Perhaps there are things you need to put on.
Yeah.
Perhaps there are relationships that you need to cut off.
Yeah.
Perhaps there are places you go that you need to stop going there.
Yeah.
Perhaps there are things that you're doing you need to start doing.
Yeah.
There has to be a change when God put his spirit upon people. We cannot, we must not, we should not stay the same.
Yeah.
And I want to challenge everyone here. Challenge everyone here in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
As God pours his spirit upon you.
Yeah.
As God floods you. As he reveals to you. And don't be scared when God reveals things to you. When he reveals to you things in your life that you need to change.
Yeah.
Bring them to him in prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you see, what happens is this. He floods the land, and then it grows. But understand one thing, people of God, it is a process.
Yes, it is.
You don't flood the land today, and you have your crops tomorrow.
No.
Anyone here who's a farmer? If you are, then you know that. You don't just water your ground today, and you reap the harvest tomorrow. There is a process. A process of tendering, a process of caring, a process of making sure that things grow properly, of continually watering the land so that your crops grow. Perhaps God is taking you through that process of tendering, of tilling the land as he pours out his spirit upon you. Perhaps he's taking you through that process. You know what? Allow him. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, allow God. You know, allow God. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. But there's a wonderful promise. And this applies not only to us, but to our descendants. I love that. Our God is a God who thinks about the whole family line. After all, he created us, remember? We just read it there, I formed you in the womb.
That's right.
So of course he thinks of our children, our descendants, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren that God will bless us with. Of course he thinks about them. And he pours out his spirit so that they too will be recipients of his spirit. They too will be recipients of the harvest that God has for us. Notice one thing, people of God, this is a promise. God says, I will. And listen, when God says, I will, nothing can stop him.
Exactly.
Because he's the unstoppable God. Remember what he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell. When God says, I will, you see, you know what? The devil can't stop him. Though he may try, the enemy cannot stop him. God will do it. What we have to do is to open our hearts to receive it. Open our hearts to receive the blessing that God has in store for us. You see, man is always looking for solutions to problems, isn't he? In this world. You listen to the news like I do, and all you, is, you know, you just get fed up inside. It's all Brexit or no Brexit, deal or no deal, what's going to happen and all that. And who knows what's going to happen? And sometimes I think to myself, who cares? Because you just get fed up of it. Who's going to win? Is it Johnson or Hunt? And what are they going to do? And you know what? Then you just go ahead. Sometimes you just have that attitude, but then you remember, look, you know what? Our God is in control. Our God is in control. And our prayer is that, you know, whoever gets into Downing Street later on this month, whoever it is, yeah, our prayer is that they be led by God. Amen. Our prayer is that they follow the rule and the dictates and the leadership of God. And whatever happens with Brexit or no Brexit, deal or no deal, you know, this nation belongs to him. Yes. And our prayer is, Lord, flood this nation.
Yes,
Lord. Not just us, but this nation. Yeah. We need an overflow. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God in this place, in our nation. Because man just cannot and does not have the solution to whatever the need of this world is. But our God does. There's a declaration at the end of this passage that we read. And I like declaration because we're speaking faith to ourselves. If we say it meaningfully and not just mouthing it. There in verse 5 he says, one will say, I am the Lord's. I love that. One will say, I am the Lord's. Can you say that? Come on, say that to yourself. I am the Lord's.
I am the Lord's.
Say it to me. Say it. I am the Lord's.
I am the Lord's.
Who owns you? Who do you belong to?
The Lord.
I am the Lord's. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. You wonder why Jacob? Remember what happened to Jacob? Jacob's a funny name, isn't it? It means grabber. Because if you remember the story of when Jacob and Esau were born, the Bible tells us that Esau came out first, and then Jacob was holding Esau's heel. And I'm sure we know the story of how Jacob took his brother's birthrights, and Esau wanted to kill Jacob as a result. But we also know this. Jacob wrestled with God and prevailed.
That's right.
How can a man wrestle with God and prevail? Yeah, the angel said to him, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have wrestled with God and man and prevailed. I'm thinking, how can a man wrestle with God and prevail? But there was something about Jacob that even though he was hurt, his socket was dislocated. When the angel said, let me go, he said, I will not go until you bless me. There was that, I call it that positive stubbornness in him. I'm not going anywhere until you bless me. I'm not leaving this place, God, until you bless me. And the angel had no choice. Imagine that. No choice but to bless him. Imagine you putting God in that situation where God has no choice but to do something for you. Why? Because you stick with him. Because you persevere, because you cry out to him. And when God sees you, say, you know what? I don't have a choice but to do it. And that was who Jacob was. He wrestled with the angel all night. Wow. God had no choice but to bless. I think I gave the account here of my son who one time he was asking me to buy him some game console thing, and he kept on going on and on about this. He would go onto YouTube, he would show me the adverts. If I was on Sky TV, he saw the advert, he would pause the TV, then he'd call me downstairs and show me the adverts. At one point he was saying, Daddy, you know, if you order it from, if you have Amazon Prime and you order it today, you get it tomorrow. Wow, he was just going on and on and on and on. At one point I said to my wife, this boy will not give me any rest until I buy this thing for him. And out of his persistence, well, I was going to buy it anyway, but out of his persistence, he's actually listening, by the way, anyway. Out of his persistence, I had to buy it for him. But the one thing that really caught my attention throughout that thing was he was persistent. He was non-stop. He knew what he wanted. He knew Daddy had the money to buy it. Praise God for that. And he knew who to go to. And he knew how to catch me. I mean, you know, he would show me the others on YouTube. I mean, you know, he'd be watching Sky TV, Paul said today, he'll call me, Daddy, I've got something to show you. Like, oh, what's going on now? Then he showed me the advert on TV. Oh, great. You know what, people? We need to be like that with God as well.
Yes, that's right.
Where we're persistent on and on with God, and God will come through for us.
Amen.
If God came through for Jacob, he will come through for us. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob and will rise with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself or surname himself by the name of Israel. But why is someone doing this? Well, it's because of the blessing that God pours out on his people. When we, and in doing this, we acknowledge the source of the blessing. We're singing in praise and worship about the 10 lepers who were healed and only one came back to give thanks. Where are the 9? Only one was able to go back to Jesus and say, yes, Lord, thank you. You've done this. We need to be like that, people, where we acknowledge who has done what's happened in our lives. And therefore, by surnaming ourselves after God, by calling ourselves the Lord's, we are acknowledging who we are and who has done what's happened in our lives. It means that all the glory, all the praise, all the attention is going back to him, not to us, but to him. Because he has done it.
Amen.
My prayer for us this morning is that what we have read in this passage will be accomplished in our lives. We receive it and it will happen in our lives that he will pour water on him who is thirsty. But going back to what I said at the beginning, people of God, are you thirsty? I know right now I am. Are you thirsty? Are you willing, eager, craving the presence of God? Do you desire his presence? Because that is the condition for which you are going to receive that overflow. Let's rise to our feet, please. Hallelujah. Lord, I thirst for you. Lord, I'm craving for the things of God. Lord, I'm craving for the satisfaction that comes only from you. If that's you, just raise your hands to God where you are right now and tell him, Lord, I'm thirsting for you right now. I thirst for you, O God. I thirst for the living God. As I'm thirsting for you, your word says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Yes, Lord, that is me. Tell God, say, yes, Lord, that is me. Him who is thirsty. Yeah, that's me, Lord. Floods on the dry grounds. That's me, Father, in the name of Jesus. When you're thirsty, you desire to have water. You desire a drink. You desire for something to quench that thirst. We're talking about a thirst. We're talking about a desire, a craving for the things of God. We're talking about a craving to be close to God. We're talking about wanting to be in his presence all the time. One thing have I desired from the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To inquire in his temple. Is that your desire? Is that what you're craving right now? The presence of God. Is that what you're seeking right now? His holy presence. If that's what you're seeking, also tell him right now, Lord, show me what I need to, you know, take away from my life. Perhaps even right now, God is convicting you of what you need to do. If he is, don't fight it, please. I beg you, don't fight it. Don't try and think, oh God, but you understand, I can't do that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. If God right now is revealing to you things that you need to put right, just accept what he's saying. Just raise your hands right where you are. I'm not going to call you out because I've never heard right now. Yes, I know that there are so many of you. If you're thirsty for God, just raise your hands where you are. And I'm going to pray for us all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise your hands to God, not to me, please, people. Raise your hands to him. Father, in Jesus' name, for every hand raised in this place, who is craving for you, Lord God, who is thirsting for you, who desires you, Father, flood these lives in the name of Jesus. Flood these lives with your spirit, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Every dry life, every barren life, every unproductive life, flood it with your spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we ask for an overflow. We ask for an outpouring, an infilling of your spirit upon our lives in Jesus' mighty name. That we will grow, Father. We will make progress in the things of God. There will be blessing after blessing after blessing in our lives. And Father, in filling us with your spirit, Lord, show us where we need to make amends. Show us, Lord, the things that we need to change, the things that we need to root out. Father, as you show us these things, may we not fight you. May we not think that we know better than you, O God. But may we follow you every step of the way in the name of Jesus. And Father, right now I speak, I declare over Eden Christian Center growth. I declare a flood. I declare a flood. I declare a flood in the name of Jesus. Over this assembly of people, over your people, Father, we who are called the Lord's, we who name ourselves after the God of Jacob, we declare a flood in this place in Jesus' name. Lord, that people will come to this place, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. They will come, Father, not because of us, but because of you, O God. And when they come here, Father, they will meet you. They will find you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, you've done it in the past. Lord, do it again. Amen. We are grateful for past victories, O God. We are grateful for past blessings. But Lord, we don't want to live in the past. We want to experience it even right now. So Lord, do it again in the name of Jesus. Cause a flood, cause an overflow, cause an outpouring of your blessing, cause a change in our lives. And Father, all to the praise and glory of your name. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, O God. In Jesus' name. With our heads still bowed, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With our heads still bowed.